Lord, thank you. We are studying today in the book spirit of wisdom.
Today, beautiful service.
The book of John.
Amen.
I think
good
it's interesting.
Have the
19th chapter.
To have the Browns with us, let me say
has
today.
31 chapters.
Amen. Just brother and sister Brown.
This morning,
you could
precious
young
one
people
have read that.
So special
and
to have
one
you here
month
today.
To read the
so
book
he delivered him
as a couple.
And
so,
amen.
If you did that,
a unit,
every day
a family
for
to be crucified.
Amen.
You would read through the book
12 times.
So
amen.
They took Jesus.
And
April the 13th.
Usually,
and
if you read something 12 times, pretty well
get it. So they,
amen.
Most
friend
of the
Jesus.
Family established
and
so a dynasty for Jesus.
A great recommendation.
Well, praise God. Amen.
The book of Proverbs.
I'd also like to
of course,
I want to just
all those of you
compiled, preach on this very simple bit of
wisdom
day for them. Thank you.
Our
sacrifice. And
great
we don't do it
man.
That way. We just do it because we're like
credited
that.
With
the Lord bless you and you may be seated
together.
And so, but there's so much good that can be found in the book
for
of Proverbs.
For people from
Jewish
it
culture
seems today
and
that
background
in the land, there is somewhat
a
dearth of immediate
of wisdom.
Impact.
They would automatically see a picture that perhaps
you,
our minds would not
else.
See because we don't have that association.
So it seems like that.
But when
not
I
a
think
lot
of Jesus,
around, in some cases,
and the many times,
amen.
I think a part of
that
he was
as
in
we have
a crowd
become
of people,
a culture,
and he had enemies,
with
and
youth.
He had detractors. And there were people
you know,
there
a lot of
that wanted
cultures
very much. To
not
discredit
because
him
I'm
and
older,
to destroy him.
But a lot of cultures
and at least
honor
on two previous occasions,
of their
the Bible
wisdom
said
and
that
their
they wanted to lay hands on him.
But we
and
have,
kill
and this
him.
I remember back
but the Scripture says that on those
70s
occasions,
never,
that he
you know,
would
you
just
had
walk right
what
through their midst.
Go-go boots, you know,
and nobody was pursuing
could
the
lay
a
hand
culture.
On him.
Hollywood
there was
a protective and divine
part of
that rested on Jesus Christ.
Yes, everything's got to be
and
beautiful.
Until it was his time,
you know,
nobody could
touch
him.
Women in our
and
society
and could I say today that divine favor
young.
Can rest upon you,
you know,
and
I told
that
you
favor
about the
rest upon me.
Had so
and
many
we do not have to live our lives in fear. You can go forth
and
you can do what God has asked
you
to do.
That's a lot of patience.
And his favor will rest upon you.
Just trying to keep up.
And nothing can happen
to
you unless God designs it.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's a culture that pursues.
And if he does, his grace will be sufficient for whatever you will go through.
Thank God for you.
But this day,
amen.
Different.
But
this
quite honestly,
day,
most young
the
people
creator
don't have much wisdom
was delivered into the hands of his creation.
Amen.
And the Lord of
to be
glory
very wise, you
got to
place
into the hands
gotta
learn
of sinners.
A little bit. And the Bible
you know,
says,
that
and I think the wording
mistakes, but
is
you at least
divinely ordered.
Make them and learn
when
from
it says, and they led
that's
him
expensive.
Away.
You know, that's what wisdom is.
Let me take
amen.
Your attention back now
is
to
learning
the book
from your
on Leviticus.
Wisdom is
to the 16th chapter.
And you don't have to
a particular
that.
Incident
so is,
in biblical
it's very
history,
valuable to us
and all through
it's something
more
that
than
I
1,000
think
years
really strive
of Bible
for,
history,
and it's
this was repeated,
our being,
and even to this day,
in a Christian life,
even to this
the
day,
wealth of wise
it was
choices,
a time in
but
Israel was in the
boy,
wilderness.
Boy, life's about choices, isn't it?
And God
amen.
Spoke
we
to
have
them,
to make them
very specific
from the
words
open.
Here. And he
right
said that this
blessings.
Was the day that Israel
that's
was
concise,
to fast.
True.
And to
Proverbs 9
their
and 1,
soul.
Wisdom hath builded
it
her house.
It was a day that they were to consciously
pillars.
Concentrate on the fact of their own sinfulness.
Pillars.
And that sin separates
amen.
From
a difference,
God.
Isn't there?
God
all
had
right.
placed right in
lesson
the middle
text comes
of
from
Israel,
1 Kings, chapter
his
3.
Presence and
for
his
now, O Lord my God,
and a symbol of his power and of
King
his mercy.
Of David,
and that
father,
was in the
I
tabernacle.
But a little child.
And, but this
I know
was
not
a day that even the tabernacle was to be cleansed.
God's servant is in the
and
midst
it was
of
to be
people
rededicated.
Chosen, the great people.
Amen. And he said, I want you to do this every year.
Give therefore thy servant
a unique
an understanding
and
heart.
Day.
To
this
judge
was a day
people,
that was like no other.
I may deserve
every day
between
they offered
good and
sacrifices.
Bad. Or who is able to judge
they
this?
They burned incense.
That's so great.
Every day
the people.
there was bread and on feet on the table
the
of shewbread. Every day they went about their priestly duties.
Said
but
unto
this
him,
day was like
thou
no
hast
other.
Asked this thing and
this
hast
day
not asked
when the high priest got up,
life.
He did not
neither
put on his robes. The Bible
riches,
says for glory
nor
and
hast
for beauty.
For,
he laid
the life
that all
of thy
aside.
Enemies,
and he put on a simple linen robe of pure
behold,
white.
I have
it was to represent
to
humility. And
lo,
it was to represent purity.
Wise,
and then
and an
he was to rise
heart,
and he was to go
so that there
and get
was none
a bull
like thee before
and a
thee,
ram
neither after
and two
thee
male goats. And then he was to bring
like
those animals to the tabernacle and to the door. And when he got
which
there to the door of the tabernacle, he
honor,
would slay first
so
of all, basically first of all,
any
the bullock. That was
like
his own personal sin sacrifice.
And then
I think it's interesting
Kings,
that he offered
12,
the most expensive and the largest animal for himself.
Consulted with
you know what
the
I think
men
that is?
That
I think God
Solomon,
wants us to be aware of our personal sins
yet lived
before we're
said,
aware of the sins of others.
Advise
let me say that
I
again. I think God wants us to be aware of our own
saying,
personal sins before we get to looking at the sins of other people. I think God wants us to judge ourselves first before we start judging our brothers and sisters. So he said,
he
when you get to the tabernacle,
the
first thing I want you to do is I want you to take care of your personal
that were
business.
Grown up with him and,
you might be the high priest,
him,
and you may wear the glorious robes, and
choices,
you may be in a place of honor
wise
that God
choices
has selected you
amen
and set you as
amen
a spiritual head over all
thank
of
God
Israel. But don't you forget, high priest, don't you forget, Aaron, that you're a man and that you have sins
Solomon
like everybody else has sins. Amen. And
you've
got to take care of personal business first.
God gave him a gift of wisdom.
You can't help somebody else on their
he
spiritual journey until
Solomon
you've taken care of business at home.
A lot of his wisdom
amen
to his mother
and so,
his father.
So he comes and he brings the bullock and
you
he
grew
slays
up in a household
to offer
that had a
sacrifice
wise,
and the,
leader,
then,
had wise
then the Bible
parents,
said that he took those two goats.
You're really blessed.
And this is very interesting.
And that's a great thing. To
somebody
to
brought an
counsel
urn to him.
And, so
and he reached inside that large
Solomon
urn with both of
grew
his
up
hands
in that kind of a house.
And he came out of there
brother Wesley,
with two pieces of
boxwood. Maybe we don't need that.
And then
right
he
now
walked over to where those two goats were.
We don't want anybody
one
freezing
was on the right and one
amen
was on
what
the left.
Say?
And one
church
of those
was
marked of the Lord and the other was marked as
polar bear in the pulpit and
Azaleh, which means the scapegoat. And so one of those goats was selected by the Lord to be a sacrifice. And the other
so
was to be set
was,
free.
Given wisdom of the Lord.
And he stood there not knowing until the revelation
and,
which one was going to be which.
Starting out in ministry.
And one was selected and one was instantly taken. The one that the boxwood indicated
the Lord had
would
called
be
us to
the Lord's
friends,
goat. And that goat was taken immediately.
The Lord
and he was sacrificed.
An heart.
And his blood was shed. And his body was parted. And he was placed on
the
brazen altar.
The great
as a
saying
sacrifice
that we attribute to. To the
and
Indians
then the Lord said, I want you to take
to
I want you to take some finely ground incense
kind of
and get some fire off of the
if
brazen altar. I want you to notice something. All of the
even
fire in the tabernacle
thing,
and later in the temple came from the brazen
motive
altar. The brazen altar is a place of sacrifice. The brazen altar is a place of repentance. And
it
doesn't matter. You don't offer any fire to God until you get an offer of repentance. It's got to come from a place where you humble yourself before God. That's where everything has to start. That's why he said, I don't want any false fire. I don't want any strange fire. You get all of it from that altar. That's where it's got to come from.
And it could have been me.
Amen. Anybody God does not want
kind of
worship that's
you
not grounded in repentance
so Solomon
and then sacrifice.
An understanding heart.
And then he said, you get it from there. You remember two of Aaron's sons offered
the
their own
says
fire.
Not
and the Bible says God healed
me,
both of them.
But try to understand. As parents, that's why
you don't bring
that,
any strange
parents,
fire
you know,
in my
when
house.
You, your children try
I got
to
a feeling if God was feeling that same judgment,
seek
friends,
to understand
we'd have a lot of dead folks in
don't
church.
Don't just make a judgment based on, well, Well, this is the way we did it when I was growing up. Well, that's
some people get to thinking that worship is just about worship itself.
If it was abused, worship is not about
worship. Worship is about God.
If it was wrong then,
God has to be the center of worship.
Amen.
I said God has to be the center of our worship.
I'm not talking about your mom and dad. You ought to, but if they did wrong things, you should repeat the wrong
thing. It's not about you. Some people talk, oh, I really worship God. I did this. I did that.
They didn't do it right. They got eye trouble.
It's about me. It's not about you. It's about him.
Parents that ever lived, as far as I'm concerned.
Hallelujah.
I have very little ever.
And so, let me get back to my subject
about
here.
My parents is not
so
positive.
Took the, I mean, they the fire, and he
right.
took
look
the
good
incense, and he went into the holy place, and there at the
great
altar of incense, he put the fire, and then he poured
but
the incense on it, and suddenly there was the smoke,
well, you know, I'm not
and the sweet
that.
Smelling savor
that, didn't
that
like
filled
it
all
that
of that place, and it drifted all over. Amen.
You learn that's
what praise
seek understanding. Praise seek understanding. Somebody.
I love the story of the old guy that was praying, and he got so
heart.
Inspired,
and that's what
he just burst out in praise and started talking in tongues.
Solomon made wise
somebody
choices.
Didn't believe in such stuff.
He didn't
that
seek
sound
for
like much
himself.
Of a prayer to me.
He said, I understood that he was here to help others.
It doesn't matter
he was
what
given
it sounds
a great
like
privilege
to you.
A great
it's not about you. This is all about him. I'm offering this to the Lord.
Great humility.
Amen. Give your praise to God who alone deserves your praise.
Come in or go out.
Amen.
You know,
he
brings the
Lord the
incense.
And then he goes back.
This
he gets the blood of the bullocks.
Me.
His own
it's
personal
than
sacrifice.
I am. I've got to
purchased
have some help
with his
here.
Own personal money.
Isn't that a great
and then he takes that past the veil, and he goes back into the Holy of Holies. And there's that golden altar. And he comes to that golden altar. And that Ark of the Covenant and with its mercy seat and
amen.
The cherubim with their angels, their wings extended.
Alrighty.
And he sprinkles
so
blood seven times
very
upon the mercy seat.
Choices.
And then he sprinkles blood
he
on the ground
the right
before the mercy
and
seat.
God granted
amen.
Him
as he makes his exit
more than he
out of that
for.
Place.
He said, I'm going to
and
give you what
back.
You didn't ask for.
And he gets the blood
and
of,
so God
of that
bless
goat.
Solomon. And you know, wisdom has
a slew of the sacrifice.
Many
and
times
he brings
wisdom
that
bring
basin in with
to
him.
You
and he walks
that,
back
you didn't
through
ask
that curtain. And
but
he approaches
really
the
wanted.
Altar. He's confessing the sins
will bring those
of the nation of Israel.
So
and
Solomon
he sprinkles that blood
not only was
on that mercy
man.
Seat. And then he sprinkles the blood on the ground before the mercy seat. And he's confessing the sins of
God
Israel.
Warned him about some things.
And then he goes out and the Bible said he puts both
some
of his
of those
hands
things actually kind of
on the head
caused Solomon
of
his
goat.
Later years to not do well.
And he grabs that buddy
and
by the horns.
So he,
and he begins
and
to
very
confess
last
the
year,
sins of
he
Israel
made a full circle
over that
and
animal.
Back.
But Solomon
and when he
gets
example.
Through confessing the sins of Israel,
of what
the Bible says he
person,
gets a fit man. Everybody say a fit man.
That has everything.
That's not a man that's having a fit.
Solomon, in his writings in the book of Ecclesiastes.
That means he's strong. That means he can walk.
It's about his...
because he said, I want you to take that
life.
Animal,
now,
and I want you to lead him out into that wilderness
that
where
he'll
king
never be heard from.
Had no restraints. There was nobody
amen.
To tell
you know what
king
I want God to do
with
my
sins? I want
he
God to take my sins so far away from me that I'll
anything.
Never see my sins.
Nobody could say no.
And that's what
Solomon.
The scapegoat represents.
So here's a man that has
he
no
said,
authority
you
over him.
You take him out
as
there,
as
and I never want to see him again. That's why the book of Psalms said
that,
that the
no,
Lord
no
has removed our sin as far as the east
one time
is
I figured that he made
from the west. You know what that means? That
year.
Means
that's
you'll never see
salary.
Them again. Hallelujah.
And so he didn't
praise
have any
God.
Financial restraint. He
we've said this
he had
in the
money
past,
to
but
do
I want to reiterate today. He didn't
and
say
did.
The north and the south.
You read in Ecclesiastes, it talks about
because you go north for a little while, and after a while, you're going to
you know,
curse
the
curvature of the earth, and you're going to start going south.
He saw
and you're going to go away, and then you're going to start
obviously.
Going north again. If that happened, you're going to see
that's
your
where
sin.
Question is wisdom right there. But when you start going east or west, you're always going to be going
it's
west.
Better to dwell alone
or if you go east, you'll always
top.
Be going east.
And
you'll never change directions.
In
other words, if you're going east, you'll never see west.
So he
if you're going west, you'll never see east. So he said, you'll never see your sins again. God has separated you from your sin.
He admitted that.
God did that because he wants to.
That was not smart. But
he made
a
provision
making a point
for you and for me.
Restraint.
So the Bible said
he could do anything
that Jesus was led.
He tried it all
away.
He tried it all. He was a smart man.
That's
he
what had, that means.
He was what he's the most brilliant mind.
It means
age.
That like that scapegoat.
And,
when that man took that leash
Johnny James
in his hand,
a great message one time,
and he began to lead that goat away.
Dumb stuff.
He led them to a place with their sins. Would never be seen again.
Smart men do dumb stuff.
Pronounced upon them. The Bible says that the Lord placed upon Jesus the iniquity of us all.
But he's an example.
The Bible said that he
of a person
bore our sins.
That could have anything and everything and did
drink that.
But
drink
in
that
the end of his life, when
in the Garden
full
of
circle,
Gethsemane,
this is what he said.
That he quaked,
he said, this
trembled,
is the whole
and cried, and pled, please,
this
Father.
Is what it boils down to.
I don't want to drink this cup.
And keep his commandments.
Amen. Let this cup
have
pass
done
from me. Nevertheless.
He said, that's not this, my will. This is what it boils down to after I've done it
the
all.
The time be
all.
Done.
Fear
that
God.
Was because he was
keep
taking the sin.
And
so he was taking the
that's
iniquity
wise counsel from wise
of us
men.
All upon his
Solomon.
The Bible
so
went
much.
So far
and,
as to say that he
wise
became sin
not so wise
for
choice.
Us.
Amen.
Like
so
the sin of Israel was pled and cast upon
God's
the scapegoat. Jesus Christ
about.
Became
God
our
bless him with a lot
scapegoat.
Of
we used to sing
much.
An old song
so how do we
that he was nailed to the tree
here's
for
some
me.
Ways. First of
he
all,
was
ask
nailed
God.
To the cross
the Bible said,
for me. Amen.
For wisdom, let him ask
on the
God
cross,
give
crucified for me.
So God likes to
he
give
died. He
you
was nailed
the Bible
to the cross for me.
Amen.
He became
so
my scapegoat.
And then
amen. He made a way that my sin
and
could
so,
be cleansed.
You know, you counsel
amen.
With
and I
people.
Could be set free.
Now,
amen. To God be the glory. To God be the
wisdom.
Praise. To God be the thanks. Hallelujah.
Not, that's not the only thing.
Amen.
And as a matter
Paul
of fact,
observed in the book of Hebrews,
way, you know?
He said that,
that
as these sacrifices
and, it's
were offered year by year continually,
whenever the child
and
in
it
later
could
years,
never make those
parent.
That were coming to that tabernacle,
you know,
that place, it never
that
made them perfect.
You've always depended on them.
It never made them right. No matter how many
you've
times
always asked
they
them
did.
Counsel, and now they're
hundreds
you.
Of years. And a thousand years.
Comes
and a thousand
years,
scapegoats. But they were not perfect.
Benefit, and then
they were not
humbly,
any better than they were the year before.
Ask humbly.
It just kept going
amen,
the same way.
Motive has
but it had always gone. The Bible said, for the blood of bulls
one
and goats,
most
amen, are not able
for you
to,
examine
able
to
wash
motive.
Away
why
the sacrifices
doing what doing?
Of mankind.
Motive.
But I love this.
Sometimes,
amen,
the
Bible the
right
said
thing with the wrong
that he, this
sometimes
man,
you can do a wrong
Jesus,
thing with the right motive.
Offered one sacrifice.
But motive is very important.
If I say
and
one
I think
sacrifice,
God's judgment,
one
motive
sacrifice.
Is always something that's very
you know what
important.
That sacrifice
so
was?
We ask with
it was himself.
Motive.
He offered
your motive.
One sacrifice.
It's important that we,
for
that
sins
we do that.
And forever!
So those are things that are very much
sat down on the right hand
of
God.
Those are
from
right
henceforth expecting until
of
his enemies may made his footstool.
Look at another
for by
man.
Offering one
his
offer.
Name is Rehoboam.
He hath perfected
Rehoboam was
them
actually the son of
sanctified.
Solomon that took Solomon's place.
Hallelujah.
When Solomon
that's
died,
the reason we have
Rehoboam
what we have
became
here today.
King of Israel.
That's
and,
why you can come to a wedding on a Saturday afternoon. Amen. And with all of the fun we were having and underneath all of that, you can feel the Holy Ghost.
A book
the presence
of
the Lord was in this place. Hallelujah. That's why you can come on a Sunday morning and your body may be tired and your mind may be weary and you may not have a lot of spring in your step right now, but you can feel the overshadowing of the presence of God in this place. That's why boy, you can come on a Sunday night and they'll be shouting and they'll be out running and they'll be dancing and they'll be singing and they'll be rejoicing and they will be preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. You know all that he has. Because we have a perfect sacrifice that makes us perfect in the sight of God.
People being like people now. We're kind of...
You're not perfect.
Well, taxes were
perfect.
Too high.
But he sees us.
So when they got a new king, they said, hey, king.
Hey, man, he's better than my mom.
A little bit here.
My mama thought I was
perfect. This burden
of
taxes is about to kill us. You don't believe that? You could just ask her. She'd tell you. Amen.
That was it.
Until the elders came and they said, Rehoboam.
But she might tell you.
You will... We'll deal with people lightly.
People ask us, well, we only had one kid.
Well, we're getting the perfect
one. You'll go again.
Took him 13 years to build this house.
She likes that story,
by the way. Palaces all over the place, and horses, and stalls of horses.
You get it right the first time, you don't keep trying.
And everything.
I feel sorry for you folks. You just can't quit. You just, every time, you know, you keep trying, never come up with a good one.
So the elders advise
him. I'm just kidding. Amen. They're all good.
To the people.
Amen. We love every one of them.
So that was their count.
Amen.
But then the Bible said that he counted
his tears. But Jesus sees us differently. He sees us through the eyes of mercy. Because of his sacrifice.
That's not always a bad idea.
We have a scapegoat today.
Some young people have wisdom.
Your sins can be removed. Your sins
can
be cast away from you.
There are some that are not
wise.
Yes,
you'll remember.
At all.
But God will not.
But
you know what God has?
He counseled with his peers.
He has a good forgetter.
And his peers,
God has a good memory,
were like himself.
But he also has,
he's
kind of like a computer. He has
your
race
seeking counsel about something that's important.
And when
you
forget something,
it
just goes,
different viewpoints
boom,
in your
and
own.
It's gone. And when it comes to sin, God's able to just
sometimes when we counsel with people, we're really just wanting them to agree.
He's able to put all that behind him. He's able to
want them to approve. What we want.
I always remember the story Brother Pig used to tell us how he would come before the Lord and sometimes he would feel so guilty for things he'd done and he'd start repenting all over again.
And that's why.
And he'd get the feeling condemnation.
He really wanted to do what he wanted to do.
When he had been feeling so
good. But he wanted to make it appear that he was
suddenly he'd feel bad and he would.
So
he said one day the Lord just like him.
And of course.
And he said
they want the same thing he wanted.
What are you talking about?
More money.
And Brother Pugh said, "Well, you remember, Lord." And the Lord said, "Did you ask me to forgive you?"
That's the counsel they gave.
He said, "Yes, I did."
Well,
he said, "Then
that's the counsel he took."
Gave you. Don't
and he made a decision of doom. He decided
that when
God
was going
to do it his way,
he
and he did.
Gives you.
But it brought
Amen.
Not to,
don't you
not
bring it up
to
him again.
Bring,
you forget about it. And
good,
when the devil brings it up to you, you turn right around and say,
"You
listen to me,
stupid.
God washed that away. It's under the blood now.
It's
the pages are clean. The record has been purged." Amen. The devil might remember things. You might remember things. And other people might remember things. But God's not
going to
ever bring your sin up again. You've got to look out there. And could I say,
get a perspective
that you would be, it would do you well
where
to
you are
in
perspective to where other things are.
I know
if you're watching your hood, I promise you're going to run
into get upset,
somebody.
They start dragging stuff out.
You can't see.
Past.
You don't lift up your eyes. You can't see what's ahead
aren't
of you.
Aren't you glad God doesn't
very
do that?
Very important.
You
also, when you're driving
a car,
why
do you do that
you can't
to your
look in the
rearview
sisters.
Mirror all the time. Say, well, it's my husband or
you've
wife.
Look
that's
ahead
also your brother or your sister.
Right? You can't always, some people do that. I know people that live their life looking back.
Amen.
Amen. I've said this before. I'm going to say
you
this
can't live your life looking back. You gotta,
amen. It's okay. You need to know what's back there.
But you can't spend too much time. You just
kind of glance up and see what's back
when
there
people
and look ahead.
Attack
again.
My wife.
Because what's really important is what's out there. More important than what's behind you. So that's all about perspective. You need the past.
Somebody
the
attacks
past
your spouse.
Don't that perspective. Kind of turn the heater up under you a little bit.
But you got to keep perspective.
If
so that's what
wrong with
you.
Is.
It's looking down the road instead of,
looking
at just right in front of you.
Amen. So,
you gotta look
so I said that to say this.
And then you're
That's
prepared.
My bride.
All of us have had that, haven't we?
Now,
you saw something ahead and you were able to slow down or pull over.
So when
or
we
stop
start talking bad about our brothers and sisters,
and
you know who
or
you're
at
talking
least
about.
The damage wasn't as bad as it would have been.
I said, do you know who you're talking about?
Yeah. So in perspective,
well, it's my wife. It's also the bride of Christ.
What happened to Rehoboam?
You start talking bad about the bride of Christ, you're getting on his
decision. As he lost more than
you
half
you start
of
running
his
your
kingdom.
Husband down and you start
when
talking bad about him, you're talking
Israel,
about the bride of Christ.
There were 12 tribes.
Amen. You're going to get God's ire stirred up against you.
But he
you're
made such
bring
a
judgment
wise
on your
decision.
Own head.
There was another young man by the name of
Shake
Jeroboam.
Shake your head like this right here.
That was very
Brother,
influential.
Brother, that hurt, but that was good.
So he
thank
convinced
you.
The 10 northern tribes. 10
Amen.
Out of 12.
We better be careful how we talk to one another.
He
this
convinced them
is the body
to follow
and the
him,
bride
and
of Jesus Christ.
And he set up his kingdom and his capital. And
when people can talk easily,
so
this,
then the
let me say this.
Was divided.
If people say that
and stayed divided,
talk to you about somebody
history.
Else behind your brother's
so
back,
the
you
northern
your back
kingdom
because next
called
time they get
Israel.
To talk to somebody else, you
read
may this
to
step.
The prophets particularly.
You read about
the
kingdom
Bible said
of
Mark
Israel,
them, and then the
now
kingdom of Judah. Well,
that
Judah was what Rehoboam wound up with.
Somebody
which was just
comes
two
in
tribes,
talking bad
Judah
about your brothers and sisters. You just put
and they
the
kept,
mark,
of course, the capital in that. Jerusalem. God honored that because his name was in Jerusalem.
You'll say that
not
about him
Samaria.
To
matter
me.
Of fact,
what are you going
to
say about me?
Rehoboam set up a golden calf in the northern kingdom, and he
well,
said,
you're
y'all,
good.
You don't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship.
That's
worship
good
here
stuff
with me.
Right there.
And that was always a problem. For the nations
hey,
of Israel.
Amen.
Israel,
we need to be careful.
We had like 20, 21
we treat
kings,
one another.
I forget now.
Amen.
Two, and every
give
one of them
me that
bad.
Old.
Every last one of them. They never had one
religion.
God
give
does
me
not
that old
that kind of
time religion.
And
give me
so,
that old
so it never worked out. Never did.
Religion.
The southern kingdom, they
it's
had good kings
good
and they had bad kings.
For me,
and,
what
so
said,
but God honored and blessed, and it was just tragic. This was there was no reason
makes
for that to happen.
Me love
except Rehoboam made a bad
makes
decision.
Me love,
and all
everybody.
Of us have made good decisions,
and it's
and all
good
of us have made bad decisions, and that
for
right?
me,
am I the only one?
That's it. Makes me love everybody.
Thank you,
man. Thank God for an old time religion. Makes me love everybody. Hallelujah.
Pretty
the love of God you know? Shed abroad in our yeah, heart
was
by
was
the Holy
that?
Ghost or makes me love
that.
Everybody.
Anyway, so he made a bad decision.
Jesus Christ.
And it cost dearly.
Took all of
that's
our
the problem making bad decisions.
Upon himself.
David Ram,
never
Dave
to
Ram,
be remembered against
Ram
us.
Is, he's pretty good with financial stuff. He calls
hey
that a
man,
stupid
anybody
tax.
Got some sins you need to get rid of?
I've had to pay a lot of stupid tax, too.
This is
making
the time.
Boneheaded decisions.
And this is the place.
Amen.
Hey,
Proverbs
amen.
Chapter 10, verse 4 and 5
Paul,
said,
Peter
said,
that
he said, he
cast
with a
all
slack hand,
of your care,
but the hand of the diligent
him.
Maketh rich.
Because he cares.
He that gathereth in summer is a wise right. son, but he that sleepeth in harvest
that includes your sin.
Is a son that
you can
causes
get rid
shame.
Of them. You can cast all
you heard
all
we
of
have the old
hand.
Sin, and we understand it.
Amen.
Right
like confessing sins on the head of the scapegoat.
Give
right.
it all to Jesus.
You say
you
that's not
whole
fair.
Life.
I know
it's
a harvest, and
it's
harvest
the grace
gets
of God.
Here,
you got to get out there and get it.
It
it's
last
the
long.
Greater.
There's a
time when
you
got to really get
the
with it.
The dead
him.
Of the
so,
lesser.
This, is, this is about
and
diligence.
Glory.
It's about
you know
timing.
Why I did
it's
that
about
for
understanding.
Because you can't do it for yourself.
And so it's wise.
You can't do anything
so
about it. So he made a way.
It doesn't.
He said you can't do it for yourself. So I'll take care of it for you. And in so doing,
for instance, you know you've
he
got
becomes
a
great God.
You have a horse and you beat them both together, and he
amen.
Just keeps eating oats and oats and
hallelujah.
Oats, never thinking about where the next scoop's coming
if
from.
If you need
you know.
To cast off, some
sometimes
cares,
like that, I know people
get rid of some sins
that
today.
Spend every
he's
thing
waiting.
They get
the scapegoat.
Amen.
Never
he'll,
thinking
he'll
about
take your sins. You know
tomorrow.
Where they led him? The Bible said they led
but
him
you
away.
You can't
to be
spend
crucified.
It all.
They took him to the cross. You gotta
they
understand
him
that tomorrow. you're going
on
to have
that
to eat
cross,
again.
And that blood washes away
and
all
tomorrow,
of our sins.
You're going to need some of what you had.
That blood
our
washes
elders
away
this
all
well.
Of our sin stains.
And
thank God for the blood.
We don't understand this as well.
Amen. I invite
in
you to this
generation.
Altar.
And I'm sorry
amen.
That's the case,
you know today,
it's kind
you're
of where
alone.
We are. You got to understand
the peace that you need to make with God.
I remember.
Amen. He's here.
Well,
the peacemaker
use that example.
Is in this place.
Think of another.
And if you'll
one
come,
here.
He'll receive you. He'll receive your sin. He'll wash it all
right
away.
Now.
He'll cleanse you today.
But
just bring
this
it all
is,
to Jesus.
It's very important that we understand.
Bring
that
it all
idea
to Jesus. Give it to Him
tomorrow.
Amen.
You
we
say,
don't
well,
have
what
to
if tomorrow doesn't come?
Way.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Anymore.
Amen.
Praise
for
the
tomorrow
Lord.
May never come.
But chances are it will. A crimson screen.
And so that's kind of where we are as a society today.
It flows from
we are a society of gadgets. We talk about how poor everybody is, but almost everybody's got a cell phone
the throne
today.
Of God.
Cell phones cost money.
Our sweet
cell phone plans cost money. We're really poor, but and I'm speaking in generalities here. The vast majority of people have a cable to a television in their house.
Whisper.
You know what I found funny? When I was in Israel years ago, they'd be traveling out in the nowhere, and you'd see a black hair tent. I mean a tent with a Mercedes parked in front of it and a TV antenna sticking out. Out in the middle of nowhere. Here's this guy, lives in a
and
tent.
He tells
driving a Mercedes, but he's got his TV.
To say
so he's all right. That's priorities, isn't it?
A crimson.
Well, I guess that's all right. He's lived in a tent his whole life. His grandpa, his grandparents, for generations, thousands of years lived in tents.
From Calvary.
I guess it's good enough for them, good enough for him. Amen. And so, anyway.
And its waves.
But we've got to learn in wisdom live this means. Making right choices. Let's
they
talk about that.
Sweet.
How we make some right choices. Choices are personal, but they affect others.
And
they are personal. Well, it's my life. Well, that's true.
Of blood.
But I promise you, the decisions you make will affect others.
It flows. From
no man is an island, so we say, and that's true. Especially if
and
your parents,
its ways,
it's going to affect others.
Which
all of our decisions
of
affect somebody else. We've got a lot of sayings today, don't we?
They are
me first,
sweet
and look out for number one. Enjoy it now, or somebody else will. What was that in Colombia? They used to have this sign. I thought it was funny.
Hallelujah.
In Spanish, of course, but it said. Fly first class.
Jesus for being
or your children will. That's pretty.
Thank
and it's true.
For removing my stress.
Here you got mom and dad. They scrimp their whole life, and then kids blow it.
Hallelujah.
And it was funny, but it's
you're the only
sacrifice. First class, or your children will.
That I will never,
I guess there's
ever,
truth.
Ever.
But making right,
nothing
our decisions do affect
place.
Other people.
There's
they
nothing
do
else.
And
there's
when
no
we think
else.
Of others,
just Jesus.
There's a little header that goes with this lesson today.
My good works won't
referred
do
to a book by J.T. Pugh. In that book, he tells
I
a
can't
story.
Do it through rehabilitation.
Richard Eastman and his wife
I can't
were pioneering
today by personal sacrifice
in the state of Montana.
The
when
only way I
the
can
place,
get rid of
they
my
were going
sins
to open their church. They had $52 and no job.
Oh,
they
but you said
not
that
even
you
the
would
basic
receive life.
They didn't have a pan to cook their
you
food
would remove
yet.
Them.
They could buy pot
the blood
pies
of Jesus
for
will
$5
them
I actually
wash
remember that
them
you probably do too. Oh, and they could buy pot pies, but they didn't have anything to cook them on. So they went out in the national forest and cooked them
over
and over
gloom.
These are people that made a great sacrifice to establish
whisper.
Churches. And you know what they did? They
you
established
have
churches.
Sin.
But here's the beauty.
There's
you know what their children
no
do? They establish churches. I've heard people say,
that's when
I'm
I
not going to put my kids through that.
Away,
it may be exactly
Jesus,
what your kids need.
And
amen.
He We had a lot of that trying to go to Columbia, and people said, "Why in the world would you take your daughter?" This is what he said.
What kind of parent are you?
Sing it with me.
Exposing
a crimson
like
stream.
That.
Greatest thing that ever happened. Yes, I do. And it flows. Puts life
from
in perspective.
Calvary.
Get your values straight. Amen.
But you know, parents that can only see stuff.
Waves.
That's all they can see. It's a travesty.
The very throne.
And in our civilization, it's a curse.
They
it's a curse.
Are sweet.
It is.
Be
it's a curse when you can only wear clothes with a certain kind of emblem.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
I see
a crimson stream.
Amen.
And we let our kids fall for that. It's even more of a curse.
From Calvary.
Amen. My mom and dad, when I was growing up, I'm back
way.
Yes.
Which
it was
reach
Converse All Stars. That was the Tennessee Town right there. Now
they
I grew up, my mama bought me those little canvas shoes. You get them in a grocery store for about a dollar. And they had a racing stripe on the side. Man, you could run
praise
fast.
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
Then I got older and I discovered that Converse All Stars are what you're supposed to have.
Can
now they cost $12 a pair.
Away,
and you know what? My mom and dad never bought me a pair.
Nothing.
They said, "Sure,
but
you
the blood
go get you a job
of Jesus."
And I got a job
and
I bought a pair. You know what? I couldn't run any faster than Converse All Stars.
Me
than I could them dollar shoes from the grocery store. Amen.
Nothing.
So I learned a valuable lesson
but
there.
The blood.
Amen. And so my parents,
Jesus.
See, they were wise. I mean, that's what you want. You can have
oh,
it. We're not fine. You go get
precious.
And so they held the line. They didn't, you know, I see kids today. They fall down and cry and throw a fit. Mom and dad go and get what they want.
Oh, white as
wean.
No
backbone.
Amen.
And you see wisdom you teach your children. Else, honey, now look. I know this is
blood.
What everybody's saying.
Jesus,
would you? That's not what
and for my
you don't need to get
pardon,
on that train.
This
I
see.
You go by that
but
today.
The blood of
Jesus. And whoever
and
is
for
is
my
hot today will be cold tomorrow.
This
and you get on that train,
see.
You'll never get off.
Nothing
so you just teach wisdom to children. It's vital
Jesus.
That they make some right decisions.
Oh,
and then he said, wisdom hath built her house, and she hath hewn out her seven pillars. And
makes
so we want to look at the seven pillars. Wisdom makes
no
systematic right choices.
Might
say systematic.
What
systematic? It means that you have a system.
But the blood of
and most things work better when you have. You can have a system without.
Oh, God. Precious.
Most people do.
Is
when you get up in the morning, most of the time, we call it a routine. You know what a routine is?
Misses. A white has.
Mostly,
snow.
You jab down on the same side.
No other.
And when you get up, make sure everything's working. And if it does, then you kind of get up and start your day. And you kind of got this routine. Everybody's got that.
Oh,
wisdom.
But
there are certain
the blood
decisions that you make that affect other decisions.
There
and some decisions you should only make one
but
time.
The blood
you know, keep making the same decision. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Some decisions you just make. It becomes part of your system. We did that
yesterday.
We had a wedding here.
Hallelujah.
Two young people made.
Aren't you glad for that blood today?
And that should be the only decision
you know
about you'll ever make.
You've been there. Hallelujah.
And somebody asked me one time, said, "Well, I'm
more
not
than
sure
once.
I made it was the will of God for me to marry."
And it's there if I
this
need to go
again. Said, it is now.
Thank God for the blood.
I don't know about before, but it is.
Amen.
Now.
God bless you.
You made that decision.
Thank you for being here today.
Yeah,
we'll look
possible.
Forward.
I
want to go to
camp. We're leaving at 1:20.
We don't expect people to stay.
Come and join us, and then we'll be back here again at 5:30.
But
for the
prayer
part,
and service begins
decision,
at 7:00.
It's a decision, and you don't ever have to make again. I made that decision a long time ago, and going on 40 years now, and I never had to make that decision. It's great. I like it. Amen. I look at people trying to figure all that stuff out, and I think, man, I'm going to have to do that. And it's good. You made a decision. Church is like that, isn't it? You shouldn't have to make a decision every Sunday about whether to come to church or not. It's Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. Amen. That's right. It's a decision you made. So wisdom has a system and systematic. Here's the seven pillars of wisdom or prudence, as it's called here. And the first one we want to call finance. And how many believe that there's wisdom in dealing with finances right in the right way? That's right. It's important that you deal the right way with your money. Now, there's a lot of help today in this arena. I mentioned Dave Ramsey. He has a really wonderful program about dealing with finances. And all it is just old-fashioned common sense and biblical principles. I'm trying to think of his first name, Randy. Randy Alcorn has a book out about finances, the best book I ever read on the subject. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous asset. So there's a lot that can be done. Now, let me just say this about finances. If you're in a marriage, husband and wife, and one of you is not good with finances, you don't need to be handling the checkbook. Amen. Well, you know, I'm the head of this house. Well, if you're a spendthrift and your wife knows how to handle a checkbook, for all goodness sake, give it to her. Amen. That's just wise, isn't it? You know, it's silly to always be in debt because you don't know how to control, and you got somebody right there that can help you out right under your own roof. And so that's wisdom, isn't it? Let whoever's best at doing that do that. And if you're both good at it, and by the way, it should be a decision on that. You need to agree on this. Communication is another wise part of marriage, isn't it? I think, well, you know, the number one problem in marriages is lack of communication. That's number one. If you can communicate, you can solve any problem. Any problem. If you can communicate. It's vital that you do that. And secondly, of course, that puts strain on marriage is finances. But you know what? I grew up. I'm a little older, and my parents were. Well, my dad was 48 years old when I was born. So you know, my dad was older, and my mom was about 42, I guess, when I was born. So my parents were down the pike pretty good by the time I came along. And so they knew some things, and so that puts me in a different camp than a lot of people, even my age, because you know we go back. My dad today would be 107 years old if he was alive, and my mom would be over 100 years old today if she were alive. So you see, it goes back a ways, and so perhaps that affects my thinking today, because I was influenced by people that touched generations going a long ways back, and that's a good thing. My parents lived through the Great Depression, so they learned. My uncle Blackie, some of you remember Blackie Hendricks, and he had quite a sense of humor. He lived through those days, and he said that things were so bad then that he could look at a jackrabbit's track and tell you how much gravy he'd make. So That's pretty good right there, and so but you know that influences you when you make it through something like that. But my mom and dad always said that they didn't realize they were poor. They didn't know. They were that's just life. That's the way they lived. They didn't know any better, and so they made it fine. They made it through one of the most difficult times in the history of our nation, and they survived that and come through well. Some of you here today may remember some of that, but it affects your life and helps you to understand, put things in perspective. This is also what missions does for us and has done for us. When you go live in another country, that's not like the United States of America. You understand what values are. I mean, I've been in places where we had saltine crackers and water for breakfast. That's what there was. That's what we had. That was it. I've been in places where people would literally give you their bed to sleep in, and they'd go sleep on a pallet or something somewhere else. That humbles you. When you go to somebody's house and you're the only one that's got a little piece of meat on your plate, nobody else has any, and you don't want to eat it because why should I get meat when they don't? But they're honoring you. And that'll put you in your place if you're who you ought to be. You understand life from a little different perspective. We've been to places where you know they only about 3 or 4 people eat at a time because that's all the plates and utensils they have. So you eat in a hurry so somebody else can use your plate because that's the only plate they've got. Or they got 3 or 4, and so they serve the missionary first, and so the missionary eats as quickly as you can because you got to give your plate and your fork to somebody else. You see, when you experience that, then it kind of puts things in perspective for you. When you go a place and you see a towel hanging outside and it's got holes in it, but that's the only towel they've got. And when you go to the grocery store and you go in somebody's bathroom and they've got those, you know, those little bitty packages like you find at a hotel, and they just, you know, the shampoo comes in a little package or a little bitty bottle, and that's what you see in there because that's all they can afford at a time. They can't buy a big bottle. That helps you put things in perspective. When you go in somebody's house and the only stove you see is what we would call a camp stove. It's what you use when you go camping, and it's got a hose on it hooked to a five-gallon bottle of gas. And that's their stove. That's it. There's no oven. And that's what they cook on every day. And they might or may not, if they have a refrigerator, it won't be the size that's in my house. It'll be just a little bitty refrigerator because all they have enough money for is just a day or two. They don't need much. And you don't open the cabinet and see it stocked with a bunch of food because there's a little grocery store down there, and whenever they want breakfast, they go down there and get a few eggs and maybe a few little rolls or something, and that's breakfast. And then they go back and they'll get whatever they can. Of course, rice, always, every day. Rice and beans, every day. Almost every meal. And that's it. And that becomes a way of life. And so it puts things in perspective for us. I saw this little thing in the cafe the other day. It kind of helped me out to understand. I never really thought about this, but did you know that 50%, everybody say 50%, one half of the world's population has never had or has never called or received a telephone call? 50% of the world's population. That's hard to imagine, isn't it, here in North America? Telephone almost becomes a plague in our society. And yet, one half of the world's population has never made a telephone call or received a telephone call. Putting things in perspective, finance. Finances are important. Did you know that the Bible talks more about money than it does about prayer? There are more references in the Bible to money than there are to prayer. Why is that? Because finance affects our lives very, very much. It's not that it's, of course, money's not more important than prayer, by no means, but it does affect our lives, doesn't it? Our attitude toward it, what we do with it. So finance is very important. And this house of prudence, organization. Organization's important. God is a God of order, isn't he? You look at the creation. When God did the creation, everything that was needed, he created. What was the first thing God made? Light. Energy. That was the very first thing that God made. Because everything needs that. Nothing else could exist without it. We had to have that first. So God created. He had an order of creation. Everything that God created next, what he created previously, was what the next thing needed to survive. God was a God of order. Now, see, that's the exact opposite of what evolution tells you. Everything came out of chaos. No, but in creation, everything came in order, as organized. So it's all organized. So God is a God of order. Our lives are best when we are people of order. Is that right? Have you ever spent half the day looking for something? If I could just get organized, right? If you just put it back where you got it. How many times my mom and dad tell me, put it back where you got it, son. Amen. And if you're organized, you can just, I mean, you know where it is, you just go get it. Organization. It's important in life. Saves you a lot. Amen. What about, hang that up, don't you just throw it down on the floor. Well, after you buy a few, you learn why. That costs money. I'm going to take care of it. Right? So we learn these things. Organization. Organization is important in everything that we do. And when you have an organized life, it just saves time, saves effort. Organization is important. And it causes a lot. It helps us to have less frustration in our lives when we're organized. And then health. Taking care of our health, that's wise, isn't it? It is wise. Most of us know what to do. It's hard to do it sometimes. Most of us know what we should eat. It's getting uncomfortable, isn't it? Most of us know what we shouldn't eat. Most of us know that we should exercise. We know. It's not always easy to do, but we know. And it's wisdom. We all know that we feel better when we do the right things. And we can work better when we do the right things. We all know that. And it's wisdom. Good health is wisdom. Now, some good health is good genes. But if you don't take care of it, even if you have good genes, after a while it breaks down. Now, not everybody's blessed with good health to start with. You know, some people have congenital defects that start, they're born with certain issues in their life. And all of us have certain, things that you're in your family and your lineage that you will have more likelihood of dealing with in your life just because of the genes in your body. And but good health is, it's wise if we try to do everything in our power to pursue that. Now, I'm trying to do better. How about you? Especially after I read this lesson. Amen. But I've already lost 20 pounds this year, and thank God for that. I'm working hard at it and not working. I'm trying to do it differently. I'm not joking here. I have lost I guarantee I've lost 200 pounds. Guarantee it. But I've gained them back every time. So what I'm trying to do now is just get smart and learn how to eat right. When I had enough, quit. And not buy ice cream. I don't buy it. You know why I don't buy it? Because I don't like it. And you know what? It likes me. It never wants to let go. So I find out now that if I wanted, I'd just go by the Brahms and get a cup, and that's it. So it works best for me. Some of you can do that better than I can, but that's wisdom, is knowing what I can handle, what I can't, right? Amen. Scheduling. Amen. Or if you're from English, scheduling. Schedules. That's, when I grew up, it was schedules. Now then it's schedules. But anyway, whether it's a schedule or schedule, everybody needs one. Amen. Whenever we, again, this gets back to systems. We all work on one, whether we like it or not. Some people don't like schedules, but we do, or we are more effective and we get more done, right? What is it they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail? It is important when you sit down, you kind of plan things out. It does, you don't always get it all done. So you roll that over to the next day and you prioritize. Well, what Okay, I didn't get this done yesterday. Was this really important? I've got things on my to-do schedule. I've been there a long time, but it's not really that important. It's just something I want to do, but someday maybe I'll get to it. But right now it's way down the list of priorities. That's why it doesn't get done, because it's not that important. And so scheduling, you do what's important first, and then you take care of the other items there. So wisdom is in scheduling. Education is important. That shouldn't be a god in your life, but it is important. Education is very, very important to all of us. This lesson points out something I think is very valuable. More than just a diploma and degree, and those are important. I'm not belittling that, especially in this society, in this culture, everybody needs one. But let me say this. There's also a lot to be said for skills. This is where we're lacking in our society, is to teach skills. It's one thing to have an education. It's another thing to have a skill. And when it comes time to lay off, guess who's going to stay on the job? People have skills. People that know how to do things. Somebody said that a degree or diploma is kind of like the tail on a pig. It adds a little class, but it don't add much weight. So those are important, and I'm for them. And we very much push education and believe in it. But skills are important, knowing how to do things. I think in my own life, as I have grown and through the years, one of the things I appreciate most about my growing up was I was taught skills at a very early age. I was taught skills. I was given chores to do, learn how to do things, learn how to work. I learned how to use a hoe and a rake and a shovel. And I learned how to use those. Those are fascinating instruments. And I love to watch other people use them. But you have skills, and you develop skills and mechanical skills. I'm glad I know how to change oil on a car. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I can change spark plugs and about anything I want to do. If I can get a decent book or a video to show me how to do it, I can do it. Skills, they're important, aren't they? Amen. I always wanted to build a house. Now, that was stupid, but I always did want to, and God gave me that chance, and I'm still doing it. But it's good, you know, to know. It's good. I'm glad for that skill. It's kind of neat to go out there. You got nothing, and all, you know, you break out your measuring tape, and you start putting out dimensions, and you get your strings and get your levels made, and then you get the hammer and nails, and you start putting stuff together. And man, it's skills. It's neat. Well, there's nothing, and now there's something. And it may not mean much to anybody else, but it means a lot to me. Skills. So that's all a part of education, knowing how to do things. Proper relationships. Relationships. Proper relationships. Did you know the first man that was ever paid $1 million salary? Do you know why he's paid $1 million? Not because of his skills mechanically, but because he knew how to deal with people. Walter Chrysler was the first man that was ever paid $1 million a salary because he knew how to deal with people. Personal relationships. One of the greatest skills that you'll ever have or develop is learning how to deal with human beings and with people. And it takes a wise person to know how to do that. You've worked with people before. I worked with a brother in the church. I was his pastor, but I worked with him for a short time in a turnaround in a chemical plant, and he shut down, you know, and fixing stuff. And he got me on there, and just a little bit of extra money sure helped out at the time. But here I was his pastor, and all of a sudden I was his employee. I worked under him. But I learned a very valuable lesson from Bob Cole. Bob Cole was one of the best bosses I ever had. He knew how to get things done. And not just me, because of the pastor, but everybody he worked with. And when he wanted somebody to do something, he'd say, would you go over there and do this, please? Now, they're going to do it, or he's going to run them off, because he's the boss. He's going to do it or get fired. He could have said, Go over there and do that, worm. That's what they did when my first job when I was on the drilling rig, you know. I didn't much care for that. And that was my cousin. I love my cousin, but I just didn't like to be called a worm. So it was fun. Bob, he just knew how to get things done. He knew how to deal with people. Important, isn't it? Wisdom. And then lastly, and I know our time's up, but everybody's gathering around here and we're getting ready. And y'all are going to do a good job in just a minute, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, look at Brother Kevin's here. Sister Talika, let's give them a hand. God bless you. Amen. That's amazing. Spiritual disciplines. Everybody knows about spiritual disciplines. That word discipline, that's a tough word, isn't it? Let me give you another one. Duty. Oh, those are ugly words. They're not exciting. No, they're not exciting, but it's how you get things done in life. Do your duty. Discipline. And spiritual disciplines. What are those? First of all, salvation. Number one, repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's discipline. And then, of course, daily prayer, Bible study and reading, church attendance, amen, witnessing, spiritual growth, and spiritual disciplines. That's wisdom in life. So this is how a good life is built. This is how a good life is built. Amen. And so these things are so very, very important. And thank God for wisdom. Amen. Thank God for wisdom. And I want to be a wise person. And I want to help others to be wise. I'd like to pass wisdom on to the next generation. Amen. Praise God. I know that it may be lacking, but that doesn't mean we can't train our kids, right? Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. I don't know what the world holds, but I do know this. Wise people always have a place. You look at Daniel and the three Hebrew young men. You know, whenever they were they were captives in Babylon. They lost their land. They lost their home. They were royalty, if you will. And they lost all of that. But you know what? When they went to that new land, that wisdom was rewarded. And they were given positions and places in that new land. I don't know what's going to happen in North America, but I do know this. Wisdom's always going to be at a premium. And so if we can get wisdom, we'll always be, God will always be able to use us at the right place at the right time. Wisdom's so important. Let's stand together today and let's thank God for wisdom and ask God for wisdom. Jesus Christ, wisdom is...